Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Voter Protection Program press briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have an opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. Please note that this call may be recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Joanna Lyngate, National Director of the Voter Protection Program.
Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you for being on the call today, and thanks to Governor Weld, Attorney General Stein, and Chief Williams for joining us to talk about the critical role that state and local leaders play when it comes to protecting the election. That's really what we're all about at the Voter Protection Program, supporting the work of the state and local leaders who are committed to making sure that every eligible American can vote safely, that every vote is counted, and that the results of our election are respected. The Voter Protection Program is a nonpartisan effort because voting is not a partisan issue, it's a basic right. We're working with leaders on both sides of the aisle to make sure that that right is protected. So the kinds of leaders you'll hear from today, state attorneys general, governors, law enforcement leaders, secretaries of state, these are the people who have the real power to protect our democracy. They represent the people of our states, they oversee elections, they protect public safety, and as you'll hear, they won't tolerate voter intimidation, misinformation, or suppression. And we're here to help. So at the VPP, we've put together a team of national experts on voting rights, election protection, and law enforcement, and we provide research, guidance, and analysis. We're here to make very clear to the American people that state and local leaders with real power from both parties and across the country won't allow for anything less than a free and fair election. So in other words, we want the American people to know that they have a big team. I'm going to start by introducing a critical member of that team, Attorney General Josh Stein from North Carolina. As top lawyer and law enforcement officer for the state of North Carolina, AG Stein has taken quick action to stop cutbacks to the Postal Service and protect our mail voting system. He's defended North Carolina's voting laws. He's pushed back against threats of voter intimidation and misinformation about things like voting twice, and he's provided really a constant stream of reliable information to North Carolina voters about their rights. So, AG Stein, let me kick it over to you.
Joanna, thank you so much, and thanks for your work to make sure that these elections work the way we want it to. One thing that's truly exceptional about the United States is our democracy. We have had the longest run of democratically elected leadership of any country in the history of the world. And we have peacefully transferred power from one party to the other 23 separate times. And the reason we have had this success is because when an election occurs and one side wins and one side loses, the loser does not take to the street with pitchforks. The loser rolls up their sleeves and gets to work and tries to win the election 4 years later, because ultimately we have faith that whoever is declared the winner was the winner, because we have all accepted the importance of having election administration that is absolutely fair and nonpartisan. It is about our democracy. It is not about Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians or the Green Party. It's about allowing the will of the people to be expressed through their vote. And we have had to go to work extra time this election for many reasons, not least of which is the pandemic. The pandemic has fundamentally affected our lives in so many different ways, including the elections. And so here in North Carolina, the state, our elections are administered by the State Board of Elections. It's not the Secretary of State, but as an independent commission, the State Board of Elections. And I am counsel to the State Board. And we have worked with them to respond to the pandemic in a few different ways. One, we have improved the mail-in ballot process. we have allowed people to now request their absentee ballot, their mail-in ballot, online. It used to be you had to send in a letter or submit a fax. Now you can do it through an online portal. When you send your ballot, when you receive your ballot and when you send your ballot, there's now a real-time tracking system where all voters can get information and notice that the ballot has been mailed to them, that the ballot has been received, that the ballot has been processed. I voted by mail, and I'm one of about 600,000 or 700,000 North Carolinians who have. I got that text alert, and to know when, for me to get the notice that the ballot was on the way to my home, and then to get a notice from the Postal Service that it had been received, and then to get a notice that it had been accepted and processed, was just such an immense relief to me. And then a final change on the mail-in ballot was the streamlining and simplification of the words on the ballot so that it would be easier for people to process. Another change that the State Board implemented in response to the pandemic was to improve protections at our early voting sites. We have always had 17 days, or for decades, we've had 17 days of early voting. But each county was able to determine for itself whether to offer early voting during the weekend. The State Board has mandated that every county, 100 counties in North Carolina, have early voting locations on the weekends included. And they expanded the number of polling places for early voting sites, as well as the number of hours that those polling places would be open. Additionally, they put in requirements on sanitation to make the polling locations as safe as possible. Social distancing, masks, cleaning. We want to spread out the hours and locations so that the crowds are minimized and people can vote early with minimal risk of any kind of contracting the virus. There's been a number of lawsuits concerning the elections here in North Carolina, and we just resolved a series of them with a number of plaintiffs who had filed actions concerning the pandemic. And additional changes were made to our mail-in ballot process. One was extending the deadline by when the mail-in ballot had to be received. It did not change under North Carolina law the requirement that the voter get their postmark from the Postal Service by Election Day. That requirement's the same. State law says it has to be received by 3 days. The courts have approved an extension to up to 9 days. Look, the vast majority of ballots will come in those first 3 days. But if a ballot comes in on the fourth day or fifth day, through no fault of the voter has done exactly the same as other voters, but just because the mail delivery has slowed, they should not be disenfranchised. And that's what that requirement is. Requires. The Fourth Circuit just approved that change by 12-3 vote margin. Unfortunately, the Republicans just appealed that to the U.S. Supreme Court today, so that issue still is not finally resolved. The settlement also allowed for touchless handoff of mail ballots by voters and their family members, and it simplified the cure process for when somebody submits a mail-in ballot and has an error on it. We want to make sure that every voter who cast the vote both complies with the law and has every opportunity to get their ballot in compliance with the law so that they too can be counted on in the final tally. And then we have had to do a great deal of correction of election misinformation here in North Carolina. Unfortunately, some national leaders have urged North Carolinians to commit felons, which it is to vote twice. There's been repeated misinformation that voters should go in, both mail in their ballot and then go vote in person. Even if that advice is followed, the voter will only have one ballot cast. We have protections against that, but it remains a felony to do so. And for a leader to urge people to commit a crime is a shame, and we've had to correct that information. We've also put out guidance to voters about what constitutes intimidation. And we want to make sure that all voters know that they can go and vote safely and easily, even in a pandemic. Again, misinformation, urging voters to rush the polls to observe others from voting. That is against the law in North Carolina. We allow election observers but they have to be designated by the county party 5 days in advance. No voter can designate him or herself and become an election observer on election day because they want to. And then finally, I put out information about North Carolina law about not photographing ballots. We want to make sure everybody complies with all laws so that these elections just reflect the will of the voters and nobody experiences any legal jeopardy. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Our goal here in North Carolina is very basic. It's to make sure that every eligible voter can vote easily, safely, even in a pandemic.
Thanks so much, Attorney General Stein. So as we work to support state officials like Attorney General Stein across the country, the Voter Protection Program relies really heavily on our bipartisan advisory board. These are leaders in local, state, and federal government, so former governors, attorneys general, and law enforcement officials from different political parties and different administrations who share a single goal, protecting the vote. So let me turn it over to one of them, Governor Bill Weld, who we're so grateful to have on our advisory board. As many of you know, he's the former two-term governor of Massachusetts, and he also served as U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts and as Assistant U.S. Attorney General at the Department of Justice's Criminal Division. Governor Weld. Governor Weld, are you on mute?
Thanks so much. I'm just proud to be a member of the group because if you think about public policy priorities right now, protecting the vote and safeguarding the election, these are not trivial matters. And, you know, we have to respond to conditions as we find them. And the fact is, as the AG referred to, there have been efforts in my experience coming out of Washington, D.C. to sow confusion, to create doubts. There have been intimidating robocalls around the country, so there's no question that people are trying to undermine the election. So this is timely and more important than ever. It most certainly is bipartisan. I was recruited by Maura Healey, who's the Democratic AG of Massachusetts. I'm a Republican, even when her predecessor, Frank Bellotti, was the Attorney General and I was the U.S. Attorney. We had a tremendous cooperative relationship, and that's good for business, as we say. Other people involved with me, my fellow governors, Republicans, Tom Ridge and Christy Whitman. I'm very close to both of them. Jennifer Granholm of Michigan. I've sat with her and Governor Dukakis at public meetings. What a great speaker! Anyway, she's terrific. The chiefs, Chief Acevedo from Houston and Chief Williams, are just household names in the law enforcement community. And I was a prosecutor for 7 years, so I consider myself a member of that community. Locally, Peter Katuchin, who's sheriff of Middlesex County in Massachusetts, and he's the head of all the sheriffs nationwide and the head of the major offices. So he's a tremendous person to have involved. One other thing that I think governors can do, and anyone who really has the microphone, and even if you're a former governor, it's not too hard to get the microphone, is just to send the message that we in the states are really not interested in having the federal government, reverse the longstanding policy of no interference in elections and so send that message that we can take care of this ourselves. And the work product of this organization is great. The toolkit for voters is great. They provided training for law enforcement and police. It's a great resource for people who are where the rubber meets the road. And early voting, the AG mentioned, it's a delight. My wife and I just went to the Canton Town Hall. We live in Canton, Mass. I've never seen a building so clean. I only saw two people inside, and we were in and out in 4 minutes. I've had the opposite experience when I lived in New York City of waiting in line for 2.5 hours. So it's really great all around, and that's because everyone is all hands on deck and everybody's paying attention. So Thanks to the Voter Protection Program. It's worth its weight in gold. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Governor. So as the governor mentioned, we have a number of law enforcement leaders on our advisory board, from police chiefs to sheriffs and a number of former U.S. attorneys. And that's because law enforcement will be on the front lines of this election, whether, you know, it's ensuring safe access to the polls on election day, you know, taking on voter intimidation, or just ensuring public safety as the results are being counted, which we know is going to take time this year. So Chief Jerry Williams is one of those leaders, and we're lucky to have her. She is on our advisory board and serves as chief of the Phoenix Police Department, which is the largest police agency in Arizona. Chief Williams is a 28-year law enforcement veteran. So Chief, take it away.
So thank you for that introduction to the AG and the governor. Their words were powerful. And it's so powerful to know that we as a country realize the fundamental right for people to vote. So from the law enforcement perspective, I do want to give my condolences to Chief Art Acevedo in Houston, who would have probably been on this call had it not been for the death of his sergeant. So our condolences go out to him. But for this call, voter intimidation is illegal. And the people of this great country deserve the absolute and fundamental right to vote as they see fit. And we in law enforcement are committed to working with our election workers to provide an environment where everyone has a safe access to the polling locations. And what that is going to look like is going to be very different across the country, but I can say this, as a member of the Major City Chiefs Organization, we talked extensively this past weekend on making sure that we are not that impediment to voting by being out and about in uniform. So many of us are going to take a backseat role. But it's very clear that if voter intimidation does happen, we will work with our entities, be it the counties, the states, the attorney generals, the governors, to make sure that we act in tandem, because casting a ballot sends a clear and loud message that our democracy is strong. It's stronger than fear. It's stronger than hate. And our voters should feel confident in their right to vote safely and securely. While at the same time, law enforcement is preparing for whatever aftermath there is going to be. So I'm privileged and proud and honored to be a component and a part of this committee. And do know this, we are having conversations among law enforcement to include our state police and our county sheriffs to make sure that we're all walking in lockstep to ensure that this election is run safely and securely. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much, Chief. We're happy to take a few questions for our speakers now.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. Again, that is star and one to ask a question. You may remove yourself at any time by pressing the pound key. We will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. Okay, again, that is star and one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Benjamin Freed with State Scoop. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, I think probably mostly for Attorney General Stein, possibly, but certainly anybody else's vote to get an answer. So regarding the threatening emails that some Democratic voters received in the past few days that claim to be from a known hate group, but have that U.S. officials last night attributed to Iran. Are you aware of any voters in your state receiving these emails? Have you, been able to help set the record straight? And have you been in communication with federal authorities about this incident?
To this point, I do not know of any of any of those emails being mailed to voters in North Carolina, and I have not been in contact with the federal officials so far today, but we'll be checking with the State Board of Elections to see if they have, and if they have any reason to be concerned about any impact on North Carolina's elections.
And this is Joanna. I'll just add, from a national perspective, we want to be really clear that voting is safe, it's secure, Your vote is private. No one, not even election officials, can see who you vote for. And the best way to defeat disinformation like this is to vote. And also just that voters should notify their local election officials and authorities if they do get any sort of intimidating email. We've seen state AGs and other state leaders stepping up across the country to cut through that misinformation, as AG Stein has, to hold people accountable. You know, we've seen prosecutions of robocallers, for example, and very clear messaging around voter intimidation from so many of our leaders in law enforcement. So people are here. They will protect the vote, and people should feel confident to get out and vote.
Can I maybe ask a quick follow-up of Attorney General Stein? Could you maybe speak then more broadly about the efforts you've made against disinformation and misinformation efforts?
On the misinformation, there's been people, namely the president, urging North Carolinians to vote twice, which is a crime here. He's also urged voters to go to the polls and watch. That is against the law in North Carolina. And so through whatever means of communication we have available to us, I've been telling North Carolina voters what the law actually is so that they have the accurate information and they don't expose themselves to any kind of legal jeopardy by doing what the president had advised. We've also put out guidance to voters about their rights to vote free of any kind of intimidation or harassment and told them what to do in the event they experience it. Our local precinct judges are empowered to enforce the law and, if necessary, to call local law enforcement to make arrests. We hope that it does not come to that here in North Carolina. I really don't think that it will, but we want to be prepared for any eventuality because the fundamental bottom line is that the voters of North Carolina need to know that in this election, even in a pandemic, they can vote safely, they can vote easily, and they can vote securely. And whoever earns the most votes in North Carolina will be the winner. We don't know who that will be. Whoever it is will be the winner.
Thank you.
We will take our next question from Austin Bundy with CNN. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my question. Would any of you be able to comment further on specific protections for election workers? We've seen some reports of certain election workers being threatened, and we didn't know if there are any specific details or specific protocols being put in place to protect them moving forward. Thanks.
Attorney General Stein, do you want to take that one first?
I know of no reports in North Carolina of elections officials being threatened, thank goodness, and let's hope it stays that way.
And I think more broadly, we've spoken to the very clear and unified work that our state leaders and our law enforcement leaders are engaged in right now across the country. You heard about that from Chief Williams, and you know, you've seen guidance, or you know, we'll shortly see more guidance from chiefs of police and sheriffs and others about making sure that everyone is safe on election day, that voter intimidation will not be tolerated, that intimidation of any kind will not be tolerated. And so, you know, I think that's an important piece of the work we do in the voter protection program is to make sure we're there to help provide support in those kinds of efforts, working closely with our partners in law enforcement and the law enforcement officials on our advisory board.
This is Chief Williams from Phoenix. Along those same lines, too, there's been a number of trainings provided to and for the election workers here in the state of Arizona or in Maricopa County is where I am. There are several layers of protection and access and availability for them to either call a supervisor, to call an inspector, and then to call into our emergency operations center in the event we need to dispatch law enforcement. The county has added here, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is going to be their first stop and first drop if they have any information. So I'm certain we're not the only group that has done that. People across the country are realizing that we really need to beef up the protection for those polling workers so they feel safe as well. Thank you.
Well, it's Bill Weld. One other thing I would add is that a valuable service that the voter protection program can render on election day is coordination, because they've got, we're all over the place, so they've got they've got nationwide bird's eye view of what's going on. And, you know, on election day, that's a day when emotions run high and, you know, confusion might be more likely to rear its head. But just by keeping the channels of communication open, including particularly among law enforcement and investigative bodies, that just saves so much trouble and heartache. And again, I had the experience for a decade under Ronald Reagan and thereafter of focusing on federal, state, local cooperation. And when I started, which was early Reagan, the bad guys were better organized than the law enforcement people were. And by the end of 7 years, law enforcement was much better organized. And that's a contribution that the Voter Protection Program can help to make happen.
We will take our next question from Randy Sinha at CBS. You may go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. We're here in Seattle, and we have pure mail-in balloting. And so many people are concerned about what may happen after Election Day as ballots get counted. What are some of the security concerns after Election Day? I would like to take an answer from law enforcement or anyone who has any opinions on what concerns there might be and what measures should be taken.
So we're obviously concerned about riots and protests and other things like that. As was previously mentioned, law enforcement is very well coordinated, and we have stepped up our game, for lack of a better term, by having an all-hands-on-deck mentality so that we're able to provide the safety and security for everyone to either peacefully demonstrate and or to mitigate any criminal damage that is going to happen. I think it's also been said on this call, too, it's very helpful to have those connections across the country with my peer chiefs, as well as the voter protection program, to kind of walk us through what some of those things may look like. So I'm certain it's going to vary by state, by county, by city, but it is definitely fair to say all the law enforcement entities are geared up to try to make sure that after the election, our communities remain safe and secure. Thank you.
This is Joanna.
Go ahead, AG Stein.
You go.
Okay. All right, great. Attorney General Josh Stein from North Carolina. We have very strong elections administration in our state. There has already been about 2.4 million votes, more than 2.4 million votes cast in North Carolina. That's more than half of all the votes that were cast in 2016. So we are well on our way towards approaching 70, 75% of the entire electorate voting before Election Day. In North Carolina, all of these mail-in ballots and early vote ballots are processed through the scanner before Election Day. The only ballots that are not are those that are received on Election Day or come in thereafter, trickle in thereafter. So on election night here in North Carolina, we will have a very clear sense of who won, because those ballots are added up. They're summed up at about 2 p.m. in the afternoon on Election Day. And then, of course, at 7:30, we begin summing up all of the votes that are cast on Election Day itself. And we are very confident that those results will be accurate and be very telling. Now, if a race is very close, if it's within a percentage point or something, obviously that margin can be affected by valid votes that come in thereafter. Either they were mail-in ballots that were mailed close to Election Day and came in after the election, or they're provisional ballots that should be counted after Election Day once they've been adjudicated. And so if it's a close race, it may take a few days, but it's entirely possible on election night we will know who won our state.
And this is Joanna. I'll just add that, you know, the Voter Protection Program, our focus right now is on working with the state and local leaders to make sure that everyone has safe access to the polls, and everyone will have safe access to the polls. And we also know that on and after Election Day, these are the state and local leaders, these attorneys general, these governors, these secretaries of state, these law enforcement officials who will make sure that every vote is counted. And state by state, that'll look different, but we will need to be patient, and we will make sure that that process happens as it always has in this country. And as so many of us have said, that you know, the person who receives the most votes does in fact become the next president.
Thank you. It appears we have no further questions at this time. I will turn the program back over to Joanna Lingate for any closing or additional remarks.
Well, thank you all so much for joining, and thank you again to Agent Stein, Governor Weld, and Chief Williams. We look forward to continuing to keep you all updated on our work and on the work of these incredible state leaders who are here to protect the vote and make sure we have a free and fair election. So thank you all for joining.